Hello and a warm welcome to the Sweet Spot, your go-to golf tipping show brought to you by The Racing Post. It's Jack Reeve and Steve Palmer to guide you through yet another busy show. A memorable Open Championship to look back on, some action over in America, and two more majors to preview this week. The women and the seniors take to the course for their big tournaments of the year, as well as that, a big tournament out in America in the shape of the 3M Open. Steve, Open week, always a busy one for you. How are you faring on this Tuesday morning?
I'm all right on this Tuesday morning. Yeah. Mondays are always the day you don't want to see me. They're in recovery mode yesterday, but you know, I'm bright and breezy on the Tuesday, as always. I mean, we for one glorious moment on Sunday, I thought John Rahm was going to win the Open. Yeah, there was one stage on Sunday when he got within three shots. Two-thirds of the round still to go. I fancied Rahm from there, but then Harmon birdied 6 and 7 and then sucked the life out of the golf tournament, didn't he?
Brian Harmon, the winner, a big prize, probably not fancied by too many. We're on the radar of some, but didn't know too many people backing him, winning it by 6 shots in the end. It was a superb performance from when he hit the front with that low round on the Friday. Steve, you mentioned there that there was a moment, wasn't there, half an hour where the gap really shortened after Harmon's couple of drop shots early on. The same happened on the Saturday. I think that the gap had gone to 2 for a little while. And that ability to bounce back, because those opening 4 holes are actually some of the easier holes on the course. He dropped the shot on the par 5 fifth on the Sunday after hitting it into a bush. Rahm had birdied that one. And to just kick on from that point was mightily impressive.
You're absolutely right. He showed great character on Saturday and Sunday, didn't he? He had wobbles at the start of both of those rounds, dug deep and recovered. I think hats off to Brian Harmon. I think it's good for golf, really, that a short hitter like that has won the biggest prize in the game. You know, lots of talk not long ago when Bryson DeChambeau was winning at winged foot with a bomb and gouge tactics. You know, golf's finished. You've got to be a bomber or you can't win anything. It was nice to see a good old fashioned golfer win. Well, I say nice to see it, obviously, as a punter. We look through the punting prism, don't we? And he was on our radar. He was on our radar. If you read our 72-hole matches preview, if you don't believe me, Jack, read that. I mean, I was tempted by him, but I just didn't have enough conviction that he could hold it together in a tight finish. You know, he hadn't won enough for me. He hadn't beaten an elite field, did he, with all the best players in it. Two pretty humdrum PGA Tour victories. So I just couldn't imagine him holding it together in a tight finish. But you know, he proved it, because I know he had that big buffer going into Sunday. But yeah, when it was a 3-shot gap and he's standing on that sixth tee, that was the moment where he must have been thinking, I'm in a little bit of trouble here, and he recovered. And that putter was just a magic wand all week, wasn't it? I mean, The putter was awesome all week.
I mean, the as you say, tee to green, like nothing special, just plotted his way around beautifully. But the putting, I think up until, was it the fifth hole on the Sunday, it was 100% from within 10 feet. I mean, that is a phenomenal statistic. Everything he looked at, he holed. And on that Saturday evening, I think he made birdie on the 13th. Was it the 12th and the 13th? He'd stiffed one close on the 12th. 13, he had something like 25 foot and just walked in. And at that point, I was like, we're looking at a man here who's fully in control of his game.
Yeah, you'll hear many guys at golf courses and golf clubs, sitting around the table saying, drive for show, putt for dough, which is complete nonsense. Because if you look at the stats, driving is so much more important these days than the putting. The long game is more important, but on certain occasions you get the magic one putter comes in and is the decisive tool, and it was for Brian Harmon. He's always been a great putter. Yeah, he has to be, doesn't he? I mean, he was so short. I mean,
he's very short, you don't
want to be shortest on this, but look at this little fella. He's not got the punch of he's like 30 yards behind Rory McIlroy off every tee. He has to be good at other aspects of the game. And he's always relied on being a great scrambler and a great putter and a gritty customer. And I think he's going to be on the Ryder Cup team now, isn't he? He's propelled himself into the Ryder Cup conversation. He's great mates with the leader of the American side, Zach Johnson. Yeah, they're both they live quite close to each other. I think Zach Johnson would be pleased to have his mate on the team, and he'll play him in plenty of matches.
I think the distance off the tee was kind of shown. I think it was the first hole on the Sunday. His drive went 252 yards, which for Rory is probably 6 iron in a fair wind. It was remarkable. Yeah. So other notable performances, obviously you were with John Rahm, incredible Saturday round. It was probably the Thursday that let him down. Yeah. He gave us some hope. Rory was teasing us at times, as he always does in the majors, but fell short, as he always does over the last decade. A few of the other big names, kind of Scotty Scheffler never really got going. Cam Smith was never up there. It was an interesting 4 days.
Well, we expected John Rahm to perhaps be a little bit slow at the gates with it after a month off. He had a month away from competition, didn't he? But I didn't think it would be that bad. You're right, that first round 74 left him with a mountain to climb there. Yeah, it sounds like everything that could have gone wrong did go wrong. I mean, I was listening in the car on the way back from a funeral. I had Radio 5 live coverage and listening to they were with John Rahm and McIlroy. It sounded like loads of bunker trouble, and the bunkers were lethal on that first afternoon, weren't they? Yeah, they changed the bunker setup on Friday onwards, because it dried out on the Thursday afternoon. The ball was running up at the face, and you're playing backwards out of a lot of bunkers. So John Rahm had an absolute nightmare in the bunkers on the first day, and I think that cost him dear. I'd be fuming with the RNA if Brian Harman hadn't had an afternoon tea time in the first round as well. So I don't feel so bad about it, because Harman also had the disadvantage of the bunker setup on Thursday afternoon, but he didn't go in any of them. He didn't go in any bunkers. His course management was magnificent. I don't know the stats for sure, but I don't think anyone went in fewer bunkers than Brian Harman. That's how I feel.
I think Harman went in the bunker once, and it was the only time I saw him on the Saturday. I was there, and he'd gone right on the 12th, and he had to chip out backwards. He had about 160 yards in. He hit this puffy kind of fade that missed the green. And I walked off. I was like, well, that bogey at best. And I've seen the leaderboards, and they haven't changed. I think it must be slow. And that was the hole where he chipped in. And at that point, you're going,
yes,
it is meant to be. If he's holing chips, it's his kind of week. I have to say, Steve, as well, having been there, he did incredibly well to manage the crowds, because he was, it was a raucous crowd. Obviously, everyone was backing Fleetwood and Matthew Jordan and Rory. There was no love for Brian Harman whatsoever. No. And there was some quite, distasteful heckling at times. And to block that out, as you say, only won twice on tour before, just a really impressive feat.
I agree. Yeah, there were some distasteful remarks when there. I mean, I wonder whether the punting community were there, really, because, he obviously is so unfancy now. But, a lot of players would have been on Tommy Fleetwood. Obviously, the locals were all back in Tommy Fleetwood. Rory McIlroy well back, John Rahm well back. Yeah, he actually mentioned it in his media conference afterwards, Brian Harman. He said that the comment that really riled him was when someone shouted out, "You haven't got the stones for this, Brian," or just Harman. No, he's even more disrespectful. He said, "Sir, you haven't got the stones for this, Harman." And then he said that galvanized him. And he says, if you want me to play badly, be nice to me. He sort of enjoyed the fight there. So, it was a shame that the crowd let himself down a little bit. But, I can understand the frustration. I think golf bunting's never been more popular. Honestly, I think a lot of people were shouting through their pockets there, as well as their love for Tommy Fleetwood. We must talk about Rory McIlroy. I mean, if we've got 10 minutes to spare here, Rory McIlroy in the majors.
I must say, Steve, I'd backed it more through emotional punting than anything else. I'd seen him in that Scottish Open, and I thought on that close, when he held a couple of those putts, to win the Scottish Open, I'm like, this is all he needs. But I watched him quite a bit on that Saturday, and, the putting was off, but I think people missed a lot of fairways. And around that course, if you're missing fairways, you're gouging out with kind of longer irons. And just, I thought his course management was poor, didn't hold anything. And then when he did get going early on both Saturday and Sunday, just couldn't convert. And I'm going, I'm not sure what this man needs to do in majors now, because it just seemed all wrong, I must admit.
He's always in contention in majors, though, isn't he? This is the thing. Surely at some point he's going to get lucky. I mean, he was so far behind just because Brian Harman played so well over the first 3 days, and McIlroy had too much to do, but he was brilliant out the gates on Sunday, wasn't he? It was 3 under par through 5. Moved into second place, I believe. I mean, McIlroy, he's had 20 top 10s in majors since he last won one. 20 top 10, 7 top 8s in his last 8 majors, including 2 second places. So he keeps putting himself in position. Surely he'll fall over the line in front at some point, you know, even if he gets a little helping hand from someone else. I was impressed with that start. And as you say, he couldn't kick on. He was 3 under through 5, and then he finished the round 3 under. But he's only 34, you know. He's a young man, Jack. He's a young man. Yeah, bear in mind, Phil Mickelson, when he won his first major, what age was he when he won his first major, Phil Mickelson?
I will go with 34.
He was 34. So brilliant. Was he? Yeah, okay. He was 34. And then he went on to win 6 majors. So, if Rory McIlroy fans need some comfort, think about Phil Mickelson. Rory McIlroy, if he follows the Phil Mickelson career from here, will end up with 10 majors at the end of his career.
Let's hope so, Steve. Just one final point. I really enjoyed how they set the course up with the internal out of bounds on 3, which meant that they couldn't just bomb driver over the right-hand side. And I liked it down 18 because we saw Hatton made a 9 down there. We saw Justin Thomas make a 9 down there. And I'm just thinking back to the US Open when Wyndham Clark, big, big hole down 18. And he just hits almost a slice, doesn't he? And it lands on the fairway. If you do that at Royal Liverpool, it's out of bounds. So there was real pressure, and it made the players think about, you know, what they were doing, and that's what I enjoyed seeing.
Yeah. It's a hugely volatile final hole, wasn't it? I mean, in a standard event, you see a par 5 and you're all excited. Your players, likely to make birdie. On that one, you're just thinking, oh, blimey, any score's possible. My selections were having all sorts of issues on that hole of the early in the week. Adam Scott made an early 7 on it. A dangerous final hole is always exciting.
Any other notable kind of stories? I see Tom Kim was up there almost breaking his ankle. He fell off his patio, didn't he?
He slid in some mud. Yeah. On the Thursday night. Yeah, fantastic effort from Tom Kim. Yeah, he was close to withdrawing from the tournament and then fought back and tied for second place. He was in real discomfort. He had a cast on there at one stage. I think Thomas the Tank Engine was, can take a lot of heart from what he did there. I think he's going to become a major champion, isn't he? And it's going to be a joyous moment because, Asia's got themselves a fantastic golfer there. Hideki Matsuyama, obviously the forebearer, but I think Tom Kim is definitely classy enough in here to take over as Asia's number one.
Absolutely. Should we move on to the Barracuda or any more to note there?
Well, yes, there's a theme running from the Open to the Barracuda and a left-hander one. Yeah, it's the first time in my lifetime I can remember two lefties winning on the same day.
Is it? Okay, that's a nice little bit of trivia. I like that.
Any commenters out there, it might be some commenters who can put me straight on that. It might have happened a couple of weeks ago. My memory's not what it used to be, but let me know if anyone else can remember that happening.
And it was Akshay Bhatia, wasn't it, that won the Barracuda? Must say, Steve, I was all in on the Open, so I didn't see too much of this. Talk me through what happened.
Well, what happened was Patrick Rogers, unfortunately, has blown another great chance. I mean, he was unlucky in the playoff because his drive went into a divot and he chunked the wedge from there. Yeah, have a little rant about the rules.
Oh, it's so, there's so many stupid rules in golf that just aren't necessary. And that needs to be one. You should be able to get free relief from divots.
Yeah, it doesn't.
You really should be able to get free relief.
Yeah, I can't get my head around why they haven't changed that rule. But poor old Patrick Rogers then chunked the wedge from there. And then, Bhatia took advantage. Yeah, I mean, I was hoping Rogers would win because Bhatia was very, very close to selection. He was 33-1 and, should have been on. Yeah, great young talent. Yeah, he's competing in his home state last week. He was in California last week. He loved that Stableford format. But two lefties won, two lefties that we should have had. And, we learned valuable lessons.
I did see a little nugget that this is the second tournament where he's been stung and he didn't win any FedEx Cup points because of some silly rulings or something. And there was another tournament he finished tied 9th and didn't get any there either.
Oh, right. Well, he won't have to worry in the future. He's going to win multiple times, is this young lad. He's only 21. Full of self-belief. Yeah, great ball striker. We hear a lot about Akshay Bhatia.
Life hasn't ground the excitement out of him yet, then. Still time for a fracture.
Not like you and I, Jack. Not like you and I.
Shall we move on to this week's tournaments?
It's a triple header alert.
It is. I'm looking forward to this. Can't wait to see who you've selected. We'll start in America, the 3M Open. Your favourite, Cameron Young, 14-1. Best price on him. Sung Jae Im, next up, 14-1. Hideki Matsuyama, 16s. You've got Tony Finau in and around the same price. Justin Thomas, 25-1 about Justin Thomas. Excited to speak about him in this preview. And a man that Steve was on last week on the specials, Emiliano Grillo. He went well. Will he be selected this week? Bigger the rest. Steve, the 3M Open, we're approaching kind of FedEx Cup season, aren't we? So excited to see how you're approaching this one. Talk us through the course. What can we expect?
TPC Twin Cities, Blaine, Minnesota, 7,431 yards, par 71, three par fives. It opened in 2000. It's hosted this event since 2019. My uncle Arnold designed this track, and Arnie was an extremely nice man. He's made this an easy course. Matthew Wolf reached 21 under par in 2019. The greens are massive. We've got Wolf, Cameron Champ and Tony Finau on the honours board, Jack. So you can see that, you know, power-packed attacking golf can win the day. The weather forecast is great. Sunny and hot, light breezes. 1-5-6 going to post.
Sounds like a bit of a birdie fest. Who will make the most? What's the main selection?
Ludvig Åberg.
Oh, here we go.
33-1 available. Still getting juicy prices about Ludvig Åberg. He's one of the best players in the world. I mean, I'm going to sound like a broken record here, and I've been banging on about him from yeah. I think he's going to get off the mark quickly on the PGA Tour. He was the best amateur in the game for many a moon. Yeah, prolific champion. You know, all time, one of the all time great amateurs. Now he's a 23-year-old hunting a professional breakthrough. He was fourth in the John Deere Classic on his last start in the States. Missed cut on the mark in the Scottish Open last time out. Obviously, nothing to fret about. I think it will take him time to learn links golf, but put him on a long Parkland track in the States, and you know he's one of the most likely winners of any golf tournament for me. Got nothing to fear in this lineup. You know, you a badly out of form Tony Finau. You know, heading the bet in there. You know, Cameron Champ is a PGA Tour maiden, and you know Cameron Champ in the final two ball. I mean, you're recovering from your Open exertions. You know, Cameron Champ's in the final two ball in the Open, and then we expect him to jet over and be a factor in the 3M Open. I think Åberg is the man to beat. I think he's a fantastic driver. Luke Donald's seen it now. Luke Donald played alongside him in the Rocket Mortgage Classic. In the three ball together. No coincidence. There would have been a request from Luke Donald. And he saw how good Åberg is. And I think he will get onto the European Ryder Cup team. He's good friends with Vincent Norman. Did you watch the Barbasol the other day?
I've seen a bit of Vince Norman.
He's good friend. Åberg and Norman, such good friends. I think they're moving into a house together later this year.
Wow.
There's inspiration from that as well. He's just seen his mate win on the PGA Tour. Now it's his turn.
I must say, I mean, I hadn't really heard of Ludvig Åberg until a few weeks ago, and I know you've been keen on him for a little while, Steve. I was surprised, considering his recent form, to see how big he was this week.
Yeah.
Is it because of the kind of big names that aren't necessarily in form, but are just going to be, you know, skinnier prices because of who they are?
Yeah. I still don't think Åberg's getting enough respect. You know, bookmakers still perhaps, you know, think that the jury's out a little bit out. But for me, you know, the verdict's already in for me. You know, I've given him a life sentence of being backed by me. The top of the market, I thought, blimmin' heck, Tony Finau, he's drifting now. Yeah, that he's obviously being unbacked because he is drifting in the market. But
yeah.
I thought they were giving him huge respect, given it's been a long spell of 3 months of rubbish golf since he went in Mexico. So I thought he's being overrated in the market, to be honest. And I think Åberg is being underrated, but you know, we shall see.
I apologise, Steve. I don't think I asked you how many selections in this.
That's okay. Now, we've got five and two of
five,
them. Massive,
okay.
Yeah, two massive prices.
Åberg heads the Steve Palmer selections. Who are we going for next?
It's another 33-1 shot as we live and breathe, and that is Cam Davis. Another strong driver, well suited to TPC Twin Cities. I mean, if you're a youngster, which you are, Jack, growing up, wanting to learn golf swing, look at Ludvig Åberg, look at Cam Davis. You know, textbook technique, effortless power. Davis has shown glimpses of his A game this year. He was sixth in the Players' Championship, seventh in the RBC Heritage, fourth in the USPGA. And like Åberg, he was in good nick in his last stateside start, 17th in the Rocket Mortgage. I don't give a monkey's about a miscut in the Scottish Open. You know, Åberg and Davies course debutants, you know, Lynx Golf. They had last week off. They're fresh for the 3M fight. I mean, Davis was first reserve. I mean, you were hanging out at Royal Liverpool. Did you see poor old Davis? You know, he was...
I saw an interview with him, actually. And he was talking about the anxiety it brings. I mean, it must be a strange kind of thing, mustn't it? No, like, are you playing? Aren't you playing? It's
Yeah. You've got to wait there all day Thursday in case someone pulls out on the day. But yeah, it's more relaxing than playing in the golf tournament. He would have jetted back, you know, hungry for the 3M Open.
Maybe he was who had pushed Tom Kim off the patio to try and
he should have tried some skullduggery, shouldn't he? But he'd be looking forward to the 3M Open. I'll just give you some history. Before the 2020 3M, I'm really struggling to say this. I keep saying
3M Open. Yeah.
Stop saying 3 a.m. For some of my late nights. Davis missed four PGA Tour cuts in a row prior to the 2020 3M Open. He finished 12th in the golf tournament. So, he showed a real liking for the course in 2020. Last year, he was 16th. So, they're my two best bets in this golf tournament, Åberg and Davis.
I noticed, Steve, there's a lot of Cams in golf at the moment, isn't there? Young, Cam Champ, Cam Davis. I'm gonna say the wrong name at some point.
When my son was born, I was very close to having Cameron because I was infatuated with Cameron Champ at that point. and then fortunately went along a different path.
Good stuff. Who's up next?
Cameron Champ! What an amazing bit of, what do they call it? Linking.
That was a good link there. I didn't even realise. I mean, that's, we're connected today, Steve.
Telepathic relationship here. Yeah, Cameron Champ, 70-1 Cameron Champ, the greyhound, as we like to call him on Sweet Spot. He's showing some promising form again. We had a final round 66 in the John Deere Classic, and he followed that up with 17th place in the Barracuda Championship last week. So if Champ is fully fit and firing again, there's no reason why we can't see a repeat of the 2021 3M Open. He won that event by two shots. Fended off a couple of classy players, Louis Oosthuizen and Charles Schwartzel. Both the South African buddies breathing down his neck, but he fended them off. Yeah, Cameron Champ's a three-time PGA Tour champion. Last year's title defence, he opened up with a 75. He just missed five cuts in a row on the PGA Tour. So you think, oh, blimey, he's right in the right ear. Then rounds of 68, 67, 67, finished 16th.
That'll do it.
Loves this course. The course loves Champ. We love Champ. Let's party on.
Can Champ become the champ? That's three down. Two to go, Steve.
Here we go for the big price one. 200-1 available.
Need to scroll down the list for that.
Scroll down that list. Patton Kizzire. Patton Kizzire is a two-time PGA Tour champion. He's a two-time Korn Ferry Tour champion. And he's also a winner of the 2018 QBE Shootout Pairs event. Can you remember who his partner in that? Well, it's interesting because it was Brian Harman.
Was it really? It's
Brian Harman, who's one of his great mates. If you ask Brian Harman who his best mate is, he may well say Patton Kizzire. It's a huge inspiration for Kizzire, what Harman did on Sunday. They're an eye-catching couple, these two, because you've got Kazire's like 6 foot five, massive, and Harman's tiny. But they practice together regularly, and Kizzire will be drinking out of that claret jug. I don't know whether he's already done so, but he certainly will do it. I think it's worth chancing that there's a spark in Kizzire from seeing his mate do that, because he also loves this golf course. You see, going into the inaugural 3 a.m. open in 2019, Kizzire had missed six cuts in a row prior to the event. Right, so he got no chance. Stop the rot, finished 34th in the 3M Open.
I see a trend here, Steve, of players this tournament turning the fortunes of some of being on a run of missed cuts. Is that
Yeah, I'm feeling that too. And it makes sense that this course suits Kizzire. He's always been an excellent putter. He's got these big, large greens. He can show off his putting skills. He missed two cuts prior to the 2020 edition, then finished 46th. No matter what form he comes in, to this tournament. Patton Kizzire makes the cut. He's made all four cuts in this golf tournament. I think at the massive prices, you take a chance on a proven winner who's carrying inspiration.
Oh, I like that. Is Kizzire as tall as Christo Lamprecht? Because I love that image of Harman, because obviously Lamprecht had won the silver medal, didn't he? And those two standing next to each other. And that Lamprecht, by the way, his swing is something else. I mean, it's like he's playing with sort of kids' clubs, and he almost has to squat before impact. Oh, sorry, a bit of a tangent. I just had to keep watching it. It was remarkable.
No, we like tangents on Sweet Spot. And you're right, Harman mentioned that in his immediate conference as well. So he was talking about how he was talking about Patton Kizzire in the media conference. Can't remember what he said about him, but he also mentioned that how unlucky he was that the top amateur was won by Lamprecht, so, because the contract, he couldn't fit them both in the shot. So yeah, it's all happening.
Okay, one big price in Kizzire. Who's the next?
On to go, Davis Thompson.
Okay,
a semi-regular on the Sweet Spot. We're waiting for Davis Thompson's career to take off. He's 100 to 1 now. So it's been some nibbles. 100 to 1 still available. He's a former world number one amateur. I've got two of them in my staking plan, Aberg and Thompson. Thompson won on the Korn Ferry Tour last summer. Then he almost won on the PGA Tour in January. Do you remember that shootout with John Rahm and the American Express at the start of the year? Yeah, that was a dramatic duel, wasn't it? Because Thompson left the flagstick in on the 71st hole for his birdie putt. Do you remember? And it clanked into the flagstick. It's one of my favourite words. And it clanked off the flagstick and out. But if the flagstick hadn't been in, you can tell it definitely would have gone. It was going right in the centre. So I think that was, it took Thompson a while to get over that. He lost by a shot to John Rahm in a duel for the American Express. But recently, encouraging signs. 24th in the Rocket Mortgage, 31st in the John Deere. So, I think Aberg and Thompson, course debutants, who will take Twin Cities by storm.
Excellent. So it's a nice diversity in the portfolio for the 3 a.m. Open, not the 3 a.m. Open. It could go on to 3 a.m. Who knows? Where would you like to go next, Steve? To the ladies or to the seniors?
Well, I'm glad the 3 a.m. Open is gone. I think there used to be a column in The Sun long before you were born, the 3 a.m. girls. Have I imagined that? The Sun or the Daily Mirror. And I obviously used to read too much trash in my younger days, and the 3 a.m. girls have stuck in my head. They used to follow celebrities around the nightclubs and that, and try and catch them performing lewd acts.
Well, it obviously had an impact on you, Steve. You can still remember it. My goodness.
It did. But we must move on. Let's bury the 3M Open.
Where would you like to go? To France or Wales?
Wales, please.
Wales. We'll go to Wales. The Senior Open Championship at Royal Porthcawl. And I'm actually sporting a Royal Porthcawl sweater. I've played there a couple of times.
That is really cool.
Thank you. It's sort of something that a 65-year-old man would wear, but I'm sporting it anyway. We have Padraig Harrington as your favourite. He's a short price. Stephen Alkus, second favourite, about 5 to 1. Ernie Els, good old Ernie, the smooth swinger, around about 9 to 1. Bernard Langer, always present on this tour, 15 to 2. Miguel Angel Jimenez, 11s, bigger the rest. Steve, Royal Porthcawl, Lynxy, another exciting major tournament, this time for the seniors. Talk us through it.
Have you been there for playing, or did you go there to watch one of the previous Senior Opens?
I watched, I think, 2014, I want to say.
Yes,
2014, I watched it there, and I've played I've got family in Porthcawl, so I've visited quite a few times. Yeah, lovely place, really nice place.
Yeah, 2014, you're absolutely right. And Bernard Langer,
that's right,
won that tournament by half the track in good weather. And then in 2017, which was the next Senior Open that was staged there, Bernard Langer won again, but with only a 4 under par total. So he was 18 under when he won the first one, 4 under when he won the second one, which shows the impact of the weather in Royal Porthcawl.
Yeah.
As you can imagine, when it's windy there, it's difficult. When it's not, it's easy.
Well, I remember 2014. I think it was the worst sunburn I've ever had. It was boiling, and it obviously gets so windy there off the sea. And, that mixture is devilish to the skin, isn't it?
It is. Mm. It is a delightful spot, though, isn't it? I'm very jealous of you hanging out at Porthcawl. 6,901 yards, par 71. As I say, the weather's so important. We've got a fresh breeze blowing all week. Consistently windy. It's going to be fascinating viewing this. You've got a classic links venue and relentless wind. field of 144.
Okay, excited to see who you go for. Obviously, Harrington, one of the few seniors that went well, relatively well in the Open. He's such a short price. Steve, who's your best bet for this week?
Miguel Angel Jimenez, 12-1, who played in both of those senior Opens we mentioned there. In 2014, he was 8th. In 2017, he was 11th. So solid efforts in the previous ones. His record in the senior Open generally is so consistent. 8-4-3-11-1-10-2-29. He won the senior Open at St. Andrews in 2018. Yeah, they all wanted to win that one. Miguel was the man that did. He's a two-time major champion on the Round Belly circuit. He's still a force to be reckoned with. He's 59 years of age. He's played in two majors this year and he's finished 5th in each of them. Quality links golfer. You know, he's 3rd in the 2001 Open. He's had 6 top 20s in the Open. He won 3 times on the Champions Tour last year. So, yeah, I think, yeah, get your cigars ready because I think he's definitely the value option for this.
I thought Miguel was older than that. I'm not sure that's not really a compliment at all, is it? I just think he's aged poorly. But
he turned 60 in January, I think. But okay. He's got a bit of a belly on him. But yeah, we've all got that.
Well, he likes his red wine, doesn't he?
Yes,
which
he
doesn't
does.
Help.
He lives life to the full. Yeah, it's quite inspiring to see, you know, him still winning golf tournaments despite not being, you know, a fitness freak. He's still got loads to offer. He does all those stretching routines.
Yeah, I was going to say big belly, but very flexible. His warm up is something quite, you know. I see Adrian Mronk is starting to do big stretches in his warm up as well. Do you see that in the Open?
That's it. You don't need exercise. You just need stretching. That's my advice. That's my life advice.
Miguel, the top tip from Steve Palmer. Who's next?
Rodney Pampling. Rod to his friends. 50-1, Rodney Pampling. Consistently underrated in senior majors. He's played in 11 of them. And he's finished in the top 50 in all of them. 8 top 20s in those 11 events. 4 top 10s. And this is a 53-year-old with plenty to offer. Less than 7 years ago, Pampling was winning on the PGA Tour. He won the Shriners Open in November 2016. Brooks Koepka was breathing down his neck. You know, he's got Brooks Koepka breathing down his neck. And he's winning the Shriners. Yeah, Pampling is a 3-time PGA Tour champion. He was 5th on his Masters debut in 2005. Yeah, Pampling's no mug, but he's priced up as a mug in these senior majors. And he loves playing in the wind. You know, we've got wind all week. This is an Australian who lives in Texas now. You know, he's played a lot of golf in the wind. I think he's going to handle it well this week.
Do we have rain forecast as well? Because it feels like July is just constant rain.
Not a lot. No, not a lot. Okay. No, you should get down there. I mean, you if you've got any energy left from the Open.
I've used all my leave up now, Steve.
Oh, it's
all gone. Yeah.
Just go on strike. That's what everyone does these days. They go on strike. You could get down fourth call.
You could ask my manager instead of myself, Steve, for that. Have we got any more? Again, I've forgotten to ask how many tips. I'm getting far too ahead of myself.
Okay, 3. We got 3.
To go.
For many reasons. And the final one is Philip Price.
Okay.
Phil Price, 125-1 is out there. This is a Welshman. We can put his local knowledge to good use. I've seen videos of him and Bradley Dredge. Yeah, they've been promoting the event, you know, getting in some early practice there. Yeah, Bradley Dredge are considered because he's only just turned 50. This is his first Round Bellies event, but he's had lots of back problems lately. I sense that he's not quite sharp enough to contend in this. But Price Price has kept himself nice and sharp on the European senior circuit. And he won the Irish Legends event last year. That's played at a Windy Links. That's really encouraging form. You know, Phil Price back in the day was a factor, wasn't he? You remember the 2002 Ryder Cup?
I was 5 in 2002.
You were 5, yeah, sorry, that's a stupid question for me. But he beat Phil Mickelson in the Ryder Cup singles there, which was a crucial point that helped Europe win the Cup. You know, Phil Price on his day is a good player, and 125-1, well worth chancing.
Is it simply Price putting you off Harrington because, you know, what went well at the Open? I mean, he's obsessed with swing speed now, isn't he? He's kind of just approaches. He does this weird 3 practice swings where he's almost trying to take, you know, put his shoulders out of joint. He's just loving it. He's absolutely loving it.
He is. It's amazing how him and Phil Mickelson have got longer as they've got older. Yeah,
yeah.
They both love bombing their drives, don't they? I had a friend text me yesterday just telling me he's having everything he owns on Arrington to win this, and I was doing my best to put him off. I mean, I just think 3-1 is as you say, it's certainly no bargain, is it? And bearing in mind he played the Scottish Open before the Open Championship, made the cut in both, so he's had 8 rounds playing with the big boys or the little boys, however you want to look at it, playing in some tough weather. Has he got anything left in the tank? You know, I certainly don't advise punters putting everything they own on Padraig Arrington.
No, that's a very responsible way of approaching it, Steve. Right, that's the Senior Open. Shall we move on to the Women's Evian Championship, a major this for the women? Hyuju Kim, the favourite, 14-1. Yu Lin, 18-1. You've got Nellie Korda, around about the same price. Leona Maguire, 18-1. Jinyo Young Ko, 18-1. Rose Zhang, 18-1. It is a very competitive top of the market, this, Steve. The Evian Championship, always a beautiful sounding tournament, this. Talk us through it.
You're absolutely right. And I'm going to do the opposite of the good link that we had earlier by going back to the Senior Open now, because it's my fault. It's remiss of me to not mention Bernhard Langer, isn't it? Because you mentioned Harrington, but the world and his wife is going to be on Bernhard Langer this week, because he's won both of those Royal Porthcawl ones. So we must just say that he is 66 next month. It's the only reason I'm not backing him. You know, his course form is obviously amazing. His Senior Open record is amazing. I just can't back a 60. Yeah, he's a 66-year-old essentially, and I can't back a 66-year-old. Did you know that the average winner, the average winning age of a US Senior Open is 52? And he's just won the US Senior Open at 66, essentially. He was a few weeks before 66. So, it's incredible genes, incredible genes. His mother turns 100 next week.
No way.
Yeah. Bernhard Langer's mum is 100 next week. Hopefully, yeah. God. Yeah.
What on earth is he having for breakfast? I mean, I don't think I'll still be walking at 66. I don't swing a golf club.
He is a phenomenon. Sorry, I couldn't move on to the Evian without talking about Bernhard Langer there. So, yeah, sorry, that's such a poor link. But here we go with the Evian.
Yeah, sorry to all 66-plus-year-olds watching. Steve has completely written you all off from life and winning the Senior Open.
I had egg on my face in the US Senior Open. I could have more egg on my face. You know, I could see Langer winning this, but I just prefer the younger folk.
Langer isn't playing in the Evian Championship, for what we're aware of.
great link. We're back on track. We're at Evian Le Benz, not to be confused with the former Everton left back Leighton Baines.
I don't think anyone was confusing you, but thanks for the clarity around that. Yeah,
we're not in Leighton Baines, we're in Evian Le Benz. 6,523 yards, par 71. The Evian Resort has staged this event since 1994. It got major status in 2013, but they started staging it in September, got loads of bad weather and decided they need to go to July. So been in July since 2019. We're at altitude, 15,000 feet above sea level. We've got beautiful weather this week, sunny and calm. Small thunderstorm threat on Saturday, but a field of 132 going to post.
I think if I was to have the week off to watch any golf tournament, I'd probably be going here as opposed to Porthcawl.
Evian Le Benz.
I'm gonna remember, third time lucky. Who? How many selections for this one?
Three.
Talk us through the first.
Nellie Korda.
Nice.
18-1. She had a back injury which handicapped her in the last two majors. She made no impact in the PGA or the US Open, but she was having back issues. But she has since won the individual title at the Aramco Team Series event at the Centurion Club the week before last. It was a dominant display, a four-shot victory. I think
horrible,
it's safe
weather,
to say.
Wasn't it, as well?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it was. She said she had to play all sorts of shots she's not normally used to playing. But that proved to me that the back issue is gone. You know, she's performed really well, as you say, in the bad weather. So Nellie Korda's fit and firing again. She started the year like an absolute express train. 6 top sixes in her first 7 events. She was third in the first major of the year, the Chevron. Then she's had this back issue and had a little wobble. But now I think normal service will be resumed. And she's got loads of Evian experience. This is a quirky track, you know, at altitude. You need to have played a few of these before you know the track. And look at Calder's progressive figures in the Evian. Made her debut in 2017, missed cut, then 61, 25, 19, 8. I see that progression continuing. Yeah, I think we're going to get an overdue second major title for the former world number one. She turns 25 on Friday.
Still so young.
So young, so young. Yeah. So big celebration. We've got a birthday on Friday and then a trophy on Sunday.
That'll be a nice week, won't it? Nelly Calder, main tip in the Evian Championship. Who's second?
Lynn Grant. 30-1, Lynn Grant is available. She won her first LPGA Tour event the week before last, a three-shot success in the Dana Open. She's been a prolific champion on the Ladies European Tour. You probably remember her amazing performance in the Scandinavian Mixed.
Yeah, absolutely.
The ladies have been struggling to make an impact in the Scandinavian Mixed, but not Lynn Grant. She won that event by 9 shots last year. Yeah, this is a special talent. She's 24 years old. And her career is taking off. She finished eighth in her Evian Championship debut last year. And in May, she won the Jabra Ladies Open on the Ladies European Tour. Doesn't sound much. She's won the Jabra Ladies Open. But the venue for that, can you guess the venue for that?
Is it here?
Evian Le Bien.
Okay.
So, where is this going? Keep an eye on the Jabra Ladies Open. Keep an eye on Lynn Grant. Yeah, Lynn Grant's got a big chance. They're the two best bets for me.
Okay, two best bets. Are we adding a third? We are adding a third, aren't we?
Yeah, we're going to add a third at an enormous price. It's the biggest price selection of the week.
Wow, we've already had some big ones.
Patty Tabatanikit.
Oh, yeah.
Patty Tabatanikit. You're probably surprised when I tell you
she's
275-1. It's a disrespectful price, but she's been in a form slump, Jack. She's trying to emerge from it. Last year was disastrous. We all thought that third place in the LA Open was a turning point. In March, she finished third in the LA Open. Was Patty Tabatanikit back? She hasn't really kicked on, but 20 is a tongue twister. That 27th place. She finished 27th in the US Open at the start of this month. I think that's another encouraging point. Maybe she's turned the corner again. Patty will be back at some stage. Yeah, rest assured, Jack. Rest assured. Maybe she comes back in the Evian. This is a major champion we're talking about here, and this is a 23-year-old we're talking about here. I mean, are you prepared to write off a 23-year-old just because she's going for a rough patch? Is that what you're going to do, Jack?
Certainly not. No.
Form is temporary, class is permanent. Long live Patty Tabatanikit.
The most remarkable thing out of all of that is the fact that you can pronounce that effortlessly, and 3M open you're struggling with. How does that work?
Yeah, I know. I've got issues, haven't I? Loads of issues. Show me a man who hasn't, and I'll show you a liar.
Steve, it feels like we've gone through a lot of selections this week. Shall we go through them all? The 10 minutes it might take you to reel them all off again. Three tournaments. What have we got? 11 selections all in?
It's a 5-3-3 formation. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. Good math.
Okay. Run me through them just so people can jot them down on their paper.
3M Open. Ludwig Åberg. Cam Davis. Cameron Champ. Patton Kaziah, or Kaziri, if you want, and Davis Thompson.
Okay, let's go to Porthcawl next.
Miguel Angel Jimenez, or Miguel Angel Jimenez. Rodney Pampling, Philip Price. Let's show him some respect.
Philip Price.
Phil Taylor always used to call himself Philip when he did a bad dart, didn't he? Do you remember? He didn't throw many bad darts, but when he threw a bad one, Philip. Because his mother used to call him Philip.
I think Philip Price, what would be the equivalent, sort of Price missing a four-footer or something?
Yeah. Hopefully we won't see him shouting Philip when he misses a tiddler. No.
From Porthcawl to France, Steve.
Porthcawl to France. Not many people make that journey. Evian Championship. Nelly Calder. Lynn Grant. Whenever I say Lynn, I always think of Alan Partridge. You know, his personal assistant. Lynn, I've eaten too many Toblerones. Do you know what I'm on about? You probably don't.
Yeah,
and
no, no. Well, Partridge is from around here, isn't he?
Oh, Partridge is from East Anglia. Yeah, Norwich. Yeah, yeah, of course, yeah. But yeah, he famously ate too many, he binged each on Toblerones, didn't he? And
easily done.
Easily done. Yeah, they're lovely, aren't they? And Patty Tavatana kit.
Steve, a delight. That was a mammoth episode of the Sweets. But what have you got coming up this week? It's always a bit of a come down, I always think, from a major week. I mean, I'm just exhausted walking around. And
I won't go in. As you say, it's a long one, so I won't go into it why I'm all exhausted. But I had some issues with some Lego on Sunday. Some issues with some Lego. I had to make this AT-AT. Is it called that? AT-AT Star Wars thing for myself.
Right. Okay. AT-AT
sort of thing. And it took me so long that it gave me all sorts of. It took me about 13 hours. And I haven't recovered from that. Never mind the opening.
I thought you were going to say you stepped on it or something.
No. It was about like 1,500 pieces, complicated. During the final round of the Open, I was doing that. It's a long story, but as you say, producer Willow be angry with us if we go into that one.
Well, I'll remind Bruce to pick up with you on that story for next week's episode on the Sweet Spot. Thanks as always to everyone at home watching. I hope you've enjoyed this week's episode. Remember, only ever gamble with money that you can afford to lose. Bruce and Steve will be back next week. Thanks very much for watching. We'll see you all again very soon. Bye bye.